So my direction for sponsorship was this. The day that Brother Alton, we did the third step prayer. We had a third step feast. We went out to dinner. It was powerful. We did our prayer together. It was like four of us in a workshop. And so when we met the next time, where he gave me direction to make the list, he says, now you're in sponsorship. I was like, this is bullshit. Because I saw sponsorship as him and what he was and what he's done for me. I didn't see me at, I guess, a year sober, 9 months, whatever it was. And now I'm clear on one. I'm clear. I'm moving. I mean, the choo-choo train is moving. I'm the little engine that could. Do you understand? And he says, now you're available for sponsorship. And that afternoon, it was a Sunday, I spoke at a meeting. And this girl started walking toward me with this weird look in her eye that I have never seen before. That day. Because she had been moved by the message of recovery. She had been moved by depth and way. She had been moved by truth. All I had to tell her was about steps 1, 2, and 3 and where I was in inventory, making a list. I had no idea how I was going to be transformed. But I was also taught this. When I learned the circle and the triangle, my direction was to share the circle and the triangle 2 to 3 times that week. Because I needed to be in all 3 parts of the program out the gate. And my sponsor, when I met with him, would say, or call me and say, what'd you say? So I'd have to say it to him. So my prayer and review was required because there was a test every week. And to me, that's what sponsorship was going to look like. I simply had the answers in the book. I have the answer to the test in the book. And for a while, in the beginning, it's you say what they said to you. It was enough. And I think about Bill at the hospital getting permission from Dr. Silkworth to talk to some guys that are coming in. And then how a couple of them were talking to some guys that were coming in, and that's what this program is, talking to some guys that were coming in. And how Bill went to make that money and couldn't make that money. Was he 6 months sober, 60 days sober, whatever the case was? He's like, I need to talk to somebody. To one of those guys like me. I'm so very grateful to be put on the path of sponsorship. I sponsored that girl. She had more time than me. But she didn't know the truth. She didn't know the truth in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. She didn't know the truth that she must sponsor too. That was my first experience with sponsorship. And I got crazy. I had 50,000 sponsees at some point, all individual, breaking my neck, breaking my back, trying to fix them. Even though I knew the truth. And I learned to do workshops. I learned not to carry the addict and the alcoholic, but to carry the message. But it takes experience. It takes experience. But I knew my life depended on it. I saw that other people did not stay sober, but Bill's ass did. Fuck that. Right? The book says for permanent recovery. I must. Must. Like oxygen. I must. Like oxygen. I must breathe. I must work with others. Watching also for biases. Watching also for liking people extra too much and needing their sobriety. And so not giving it to them how they need it. Carrying them. I'm also a therapist. So, making sure I'm not therapizing people. And when I'm in therapy, making sure I'm not sponsoring people. So it's a balance. I'm human. Be human, but also be a fisherman of men. This is going to lead into having the fellowship that you crave. Because you find yourself in company of like-minded people. More people have relapsed than have stayed sober that I've sponsored. I took it personal for a long time. But I realized nothing is in vain. They heard what they needed to hear, and they went about their way. I have had the experience of having many sponsors in recovery. Well, many, four. Brother Alton says, when we get to 12, we are peers. We have a very intimate relationship because he saved my life. When I was ready, the teacher appeared. And just like Sam winning that ticket, I didn't know he was going to be my teacher. But he had impacted me when I couldn't stay. So when I was able to stay, him being in my life at that moment in that restaurant was when I was able to surrender to the fact that I needed this program. Sponsorship. I have some peers in my life that have moved on to other sponsorship. We will forever be connected through this program. The intimacy that is built through walking through the pain of someone else's story, the pain of someone else's abuse, drug use, the resurrection of their life. Watching them become parents again and tax-paying citizens again, and watching them taking up the cross, I love to say that, and sponsoring other men and women in their lives and having a lineage of like-minded people. I've had women sponsors who have supported me. They have given me what I missed in my childhood, like mothering and the truth. I have wisdom teachers and the big book. What I'm basically saying is, Brother Alton says, heaven is having all that you need right here, right now. And so I haven't gone without. And if you're afraid that you have the wrong sponsor, you're not going to get what you need, it's all a fallacy. Sit down, page by page, word by word, line by line, questions, statements turned into questions. ask yourself things you've never asked yourself before, to find answers you've never known before. A renewing of the mind happens in sponsorship, sitting at the table, right? The 12 steps, treat the mind. How many times have we said it? It is an honor to be a sponsor. But I am only a sponsor after I have conceded to my innermost self that I have this thing. Only when it's been useful to me can I be useful to others. My primary purpose is to stay sober and to help another, that they too can recover. The first 100 made that promise. It's the first promise in the book. It's the first thing you learn. We, right? 100 men and women have recovered. This is the story. And I love belonging to that. I love participating in that. I love being the energy of that. I love that I finally, it matters that I wake up in the morning. I love that I have a family. I love that strangers become my family. I love that. Sponsorship. One question. Who in here right now doesn't believe that they can sponsor? Thank you. Who's afraid? You don't have to keep anyone sober because you can't. They're beyond human need. So the power uses your voice, your body, your experience, your passion, your intention. The power uses your vessel, your face, the way you move your hair. The power uses your walk, your message to attract to you those that can hear you. All I ever had to be was willing. It is indispensable. The book says this shit over and over and over again. So when this is not about ego, I have to lay it aside. I can't kill anybody. They kill themselves. We said it. I show up. And that intention, that commitment is transforming. I've said it many times tonight, today, this weekend. It's alchemy. It happens in the unseen. Me telling that girl yes, me giving her the lay aside prayer, all of that changed me. Me setting the appointment, me sitting down for the very first time with a sponsee, all of that changes me. I once was her. Be transformed. Get excited about it. Like, oh my gosh, God is going to use me? Value. I'll say this and I'll move on. You don't need anything outside of you to give you your value. Then I am desperate. I need my sponsees. I need this many sponsees. I need it. Anything, if it's ego-based outside of me. When I know and recognize my value, and I'll just point, I bring my value and I share it with others, and we all benefit from the abundance. Go. Have agency. I keep a sponsee, by the way. Well, no matter what step I'm in, I keep a sponsee. I must. And I keep a sponsor. I did some non-sponsor at least 2 years. That was fun. Fun stuff. It evolved me. It transformed me. I don't suggest it, but it was interesting. I need to say that. I feel like I do. I feel like I need to say that. But the answers don't change. I mean, the rules don't change. The tenets of this program don't change. So, I'm going to pass it.
Page 18 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous says, paragraph 3 says, but the ex-problem drinker who has found this solution, who is properly armed with facts about himself, can generally win the entire confidence of another alcoholic or addict in a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
Until such an understanding is reached, little or nothing can be accomplished. So, I got some facts about myself. And one is, and I'm stepping into a sponsorship role now, y'all help me eat these goddamn jelly beans. Because I ain't taking them with me. Thank you. What is interesting is, and what is spiritual, and I'm going to get up here now, is that Delaney and I sit here together. I know nothing happens by coincidence or by accident. God does everything purposefully and with meaning. And having had the first expression of what's done in these rooms by the same individual is phenomenal. This gentleman that she talked about, Brother Alton, 36 years now? 36, 37 years clean, heroin addict, South Central Los Angeles, attended a workshop, Joe Hawk's first workshop in Los Angeles, California, when he left Denver, Colorado. Took the message and began to spread it throughout South Central Los Angeles. And before that even happened, though, I had met him in a detox. I was detoxing off of heroin. And him being from Watts, California, and me from being from Harlem, New York, we struck up a camaraderie. And that camaraderie was that after he was a counselor there. And he was about a year or so clean. And he would do his paperwork, and at night after he finished, we would shoot pool for the rest of the night and talk shit about growing up in the ghetto and shooting dope and all that stuff. Crazy as a Betsy bug.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know God had opened the floodgates for me by meeting that gentleman. Didn't see him again for about 4 years. Went into treatment for, which was the last time. I didn't know it was the last time. And sat in a facility called Pacifica House in Los Angeles. And he was really? In that CA meeting.
Really?
Crazy as I don't know what. Sticking up people in recovery. Womanizing in recovery. But clean. So I went into American Hospital, and I saw him again in that meeting. Hey, how you doing, brother?
Wow.
Okay. And He said, oh, you in treatment now? I said, yeah, Pacifica House was a treatment program. It was the sister program to American Hospital, and stayed there about 30 days, and then they shipped me to Pomona, which is 25 miles away or something, and stayed in there for about, I guess, 14 months, and came back down to the South Bay area where Pacifica House was, and went back to that same meeting. And he was in that meeting that Thursday night. Transformed. Had a different walk. Had a different look about him. And when he opened his mouth, he had a message that had depth and weight that held my attention. And I asked him to be my sponsor. Now, I'm new to the rooms of recovery. I know nothing about it. I just know what I've heard from sitting in this recovery program for 14 months, which was the first time I had heard anything about a 12-step process, get a sponsor, do the work, go to meetings. I knew nothing. But when I heard that gentleman open his mouth, I knew he knew something. And I saw the transformation that had taken part in his life, and I wanted freedom. And the one thing that he said when he shared that night in that meeting that hit me and stuck with me was that if you don't ever want to shoot dope again, there is a solution. You don't ever have to do it again. And as a result of him sharing that message, I asked him to be my sponsor. He began to spoon feed me the process of recovery outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. In actuality, I was his first sponsee because he had just gotten out of that workshop with Joe, and he became my Eskimo. And I will be forever grateful to him. He would come and see me. He didn't ask me to come see him. I didn't have a vehicle. He would show up once a week for an hour every week and spoon feed me the process. Outline, underline, look up meanings. Do you understand? Stay on stuff. And something happened. Something happened that started to transform my life. By that time, he got his second sponsee. That was a guy named Brother Ben. And started taking him through the work. And the three of us started going around to meetings carrying the message of recovery. At that time in South Central Los Angeles,
they were not
carrying the message of recovery. And if you went into a meeting, they didn't want to hear about the Big Book. They did not want to hear about the 12 steps. They didn't want to hear about there is a solution. Anybody running into that today? But we did it anyway.
Yes.
May I please? Yes. I just have to piggyback here. So I'm a newcomer sitting on the front row. I'm in Building on Sobriety. Gerald's program. I'm 10 years after you. Okay? 10 years. So he's saying they didn't want to hear the message then. 10 years later, I'm sitting in front row in a treatment center, and he's raising his hand to share at a meeting at Crenshaw Alano. And they won't call on him because they don't want to hear that Big Book shit. So this is when he first touched me. He says, fuck you, and he goes up to the podium, and I don't know what the fuck he said, Mike.
Wow.
But I felt it.
Yeah.
Now I relapse 14 days later. But I'm forever changed by depth and weight. So when I see that man again, and I don't know his name, by this time Vernon's on the scene, I don't know him again. I see him again, and I'll know he has something. I don't know what it is, but it's something. So I just, this story is really profound to me. I want to just go back.
I'm sitting here, and I was sitting here looking at your T-shirt. And you got a bulldog on your T-shirt. Brother Alton was a bulldog.
Yeah.
He didn't care. He didn't care if you liked him. He didn't care if you liked what he said. He gave it to you anyway. Mm-hmm. That's been passed on to me. Brother Alton, myself, and Brother Ben, we would go to meetings and carry the message, and we would piggyback off each other. One of us would share, then the next two of us would share, and then we'd get up and leave. Because they would castrate us in meetings. They would actually talk about our shares in meetings and talk about us in meetings. So we knew the necessity of carrying the message. So we'd go in, we'd drop it, and we'd leave. And as a result of that, we started a meeting called Fellowship of the Spirit, which is still happening in Los Angeles now. It's 20-something years old, if not 30. Well, 20-something, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was about two and a half years clean when we started that. Out of that meeting and that gentleman and Joe Hawk passing his message on to him, there's a whole fellowship that has grown up around our lineage. From Don Pritz and Gary Brown, Big Frank, Don Pritz passing it to Joe and Mark Houston, Joe passing it on to who he did, Mark passing it on to who he did. There's a whole mindset and fellowship of like-minded people now worldwide as a result of sponsorship.
Worldwide.
I'm on my way to a convention, T&I, in Spain, and this is not to make me anybody. So don't get it twisted, man. Don't get it twisted. But Will said, because I wasn't going, T. Will said, you got to be here. He said, you got to be here. He said, your whole lineage is speaking. Either somebody you sponsor or somebody that you sponsor that sponsored somebody. And it's a result of sponsorship. The message I heard from that gentleman had depth and weight. I'm talking to the Mad Dog. If you're to stay, you're going to have something that sticks to your ribs like oatmeal. That when life is in session, you'll hear that voice with that solution. But the next piece is very important. You'll hear that voice and you'll be willing to follow that direction. If you ain't writing right.
Mm-hmm.
If you ain't made an amends, I'd call one of my guides, and I'd be talking about stuff, and they wouldn't talk about the stuff, and they'd just say, well, we're in amends. Have you made an amends today? Mm-hmm. They'd take me back to the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Alton, Joe Hall, Mark Houston, Mr. C, all in the same lineage. If Mark was still alive, he would still be my sponsor. If Joe was alive, he would still be my sponsor. I probably wouldn't have been with Mark. I went to Mark because Joe died. I left Alton to do another piece of work with Joe. It's always been about the individual that I've asked to move me through this spiritual process has been in my lineage and of spiritual direction.
Mm-hmm.
And down through the years, I've done the work with a number of people But those guys have always been my sponsors. So it's been very, very important to me to align myself with someone that's aligned with God. And I talked about a little bit this weekend that people have sponsors and they don't trust them. They don't want to talk to them about certain stuff. I had one guy come to me and say, oh, I don't want to do my fifth step with my sponsor. Can I do it with you? I was like, so what do you got in
What are you doing?
I'm not going to stay here, but 18 and 19 in the big book, the big book doesn't talk about sponsorship by word. But if you read 18, that paragraph I read, then the paragraph after that, which is about sponsorship, it'll tell you what you should look for in a sponsor.
Yes.
And what the tenets of being a sponsor is about. I look for nothing in return from people that I work with. I give freely. I don't ask them to wash my car. I just moved from San Bernardino to Las Vegas. I didn't ask them to come help me move.
Hi, Brandon.
Oh. No shit.
That was Tuesday.
Call him out, Mike.
So, very, very important. It's a tool that helps you to do exactly what we do. Be of help. Carry the message. That's it. Be of help. Carry the message. See the light come on.
Ooh, nothing like it.
See the light come on in somebody's eyes. It's nothing like it on the face of this earth. And then you wake up to the fact of God is using you as an instrument to do His will. And your life and your inner being is transformed because you know you have aligned yourself up with the power. And your life just begins to explode. So be careful. Be careful. They tell you in meetings, don't take inventory. In meetings, take inventories. See if people are walking the way they're talking. If you're looking for a sponsor, watch him for a minute. Watch him. See if there's a spiritual connection as to what he has. Do you want what he has? When I heard that brother speak for the first time, I knew I wanted what Brother Alton had. He's still a friend of mine today. He's still a sponsor of mine today. Mm-hmm. We don't talk as often as we used to when we were in the Word, but I still call him to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
Joe and Mark, not in the physical, in the spiritual. They come see me. Mm-hmm. Mr. C, phenomenal. I've just moved through some stuff. I had a text message on my phone this morning. Hope you are well. Aligned with who God would have you be. Enjoy your day. So if you ain't right with your sponsor, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. I suggest you get a new one. Mm-hmm. And get one quick. Because your life is on the line. Uh-huh. Real quick, and I sponsor in a lot of different ways, and T mentioned it earlier. Depends on who you are, I'll take you through the work. I've been through the work a number of ways. Line for line, page for page, word for word, highlight, underline, dictionary, whole deal. One way. Mm-hmm. Another way is to kick off the work with the unmanageability, current unmanageability. We touched it this weekend. on Friday night. What's currently going on in your life? How are you at 21 years? Where are you at? How much time you got?
7 years.
What's going on with 52? What's going on with first paragraph in 18? How you doing with the four horsemen on 151? I might start you with two spiritual exercises. Reading 9 through 16 in Bill's story, which is about Bill's recovery. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to do everything that Bill did in order to recover? If you're not, highlight what you're not willing to do. One spiritual exercise. Second one, read all 12 steps on 59. But read third paragraph on 58. Do you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to do it? Then two questions that's asked after each step on 59. Involve the altered ego in the process of recovery. I must remember that my disease has a job. It has a job and a responsibility. And that job and responsibility is to get me back in a basement or back on a rooftop with a spike in my neck or in my finger or hands. Don't care. My knowingness knows that will be true for the rest of my life. So there's a number of ways to do the work. Depends on who you are, how I work with you. GW took me through a piece of work where we didn't crack the book at all. But it was all based on spiritual tenets out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the process of recovery. I've done the work on specific areas in my life. I'm talking about being a good sponsor. Or not good, effective sponsor. Mm-hmm. Effective in helping to get you to the solution. My responsibility as a sponsor is to get you to the solution and then let God do what he does. I am not the healer. I am not the fixer. I'm the messenger. A lot of sponsors get themselves hooked up because they think they're the healer uh-huh. and the fixer. Uh-huh. And they got you calling them 50 times a day.
Can you stand it?
Oh, just call me. No. You don't want to call, don't call. You'll do that for so long, and I'll let you know, you need to find another sponsor. I used to call Mark, and I'd say, oh, I'm just calling to check in. He said, what the fuck you checking in with me for? I ain't no hotel. And I don't say that no more. When I call Mr. C, I'm touching bases. And I don't always call him to tell him what's going on in my life. I call him at times to ask him, Mr. C, how you doing, man? You okay? Just call him to say hi. So sponsorship is a key component to becoming a recovered person. I need somebody that's capable of directing and guiding me, that's properly armed with facts about themselves. And the only way I know that can happen is to have practical life experiences. And as a result of a cultivated relationship with a power greater than themselves, they've risen above the experience and they're happy, joyous, and free. And there's a thirst in me still to have that. Mm-hmm. There's a hunger in me at certain times to have that. And I've gotten spoiled over the years. I don't meet many people like Joe and Mark. Mm-mm. And Brother Alton. Mm-hmm. I go to the conventions and listen to people share their story, and they don't touch me. I'm not about a what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. Ain't no telling what I might share from the podium. I speak as spirit leads. I thank God for those gentlemen. They were God-inspired, spirit-driven. As a result of that, there's a certain type of fellowship that I like. Like-minded people. People that are in the work is outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. People that do the work. People that have concrete sponsorship. People that have years under their belt and they're still accountable to somebody. They're transparent. They know there's a time where they will have a resurgence of the ego. They will wake up. God has got to be. And they're diligent in their work. They're doing what we do here, helping someone. So many old timers, man, don't have a sponsor no more. Bunch of them in L.A.
Bunch of them.
Don't have a sponsor, don't do no work, don't share. There's a marathon that I do called Dinosaurs of Cocaine Anonymous. And it's been 20 years, and the last one me and Marvin did was 25 years, and we're getting ready to do one for 30 years and up. All the speakers will have 30 years and up. Well, they're actually, the last one we did, 25 years and up, there was a couple of people that had 25 years and up in the fellowship that I know had been in the fellowship. I asked to speak, and they was like, no, I can't speak. I don't speak no more. My prayer is God keeps me humbled and willing to be here for you guys. To give whatever it is I have to give in the moment to you guys. And that when I need you, you'll be here for me. It's a complete circle. It's complete circle. I need you as much as you need me. This weekend was just as much for me as it was for you. They tell us this is about selfishness and self-centered, being selfish and self-centered. Well, on a certain level, I still got selfishness and self-centered going on. Because I came this weekend with what was in my heart was, what do you got for me, Father, this weekend? What are you going to put in my cup this weekend? And that's what you need to be looking for as you make this journey. Not that your cup is half empty, is that your cup has got something in it. Or maybe just be thankful you got a goddamn cup. And that God is alive and well in your life. My cup runneth over. My plate is full. Whenever that comes to mind, I can remember Joe saying to me, you think your plate is full? How you think God's plate is? He ain't complaining. And I just keep moving. Creating the fellowship that you crave, a couple notes on that. Circle and triangle will put you in a mind frame of the type of fellowship you need to be involved with. People talking about body, mind, and spirit. Threefold disease. Threefold solution. Warnings on page 17. Three types of alcoholics and addicts. Three types of people hang out with us. The moderate, the hard, and the real guy. Do you know what club you belong in? Can you just go to meetings and slurp coffee and get hugs and all the phone numbers you can get and put them in your wallet, and when life kicks off, you just call somebody? Does that suffice? It does for somebody, but does it do it for you? Don't do it for me. Mr. C is my sponsor. I can call him, but his first direction is, have you talked to God about this? That's the solution. Creating the fellowship that you crave, like-minded people. Needs being met. First step experience brings about a craving for a solidified solution. Are the promises being kept and coming alive in your life? Title page says how thousands of men and women have recovered. Have you recovered? Scott said it when he identified the other night. My name is Scott, and I've recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. That's what we recover from. What stays alive and keeps us here is the unmanageability, the spiritual malady. Need a bona fide, solidified solution for that. Common solution is on page 17. Take my body to the fellowship. Take my mind to the recovery process. Create, to bring into being, cause to exist, fellowship, the condition of friendly relationship existing among persons. A group with similar interests. Crave, to ask for earnestly, beg, to long for, desire. I've got to be around people that do what I do. Somebody here is hanging out in Alcoholics Anonymous, and you ain't no more alcoholic than the man in the moon. And you wonder why you're miserable. Alcoholics Anonymous is about alcoholics, singleness of purpose. If you ain't alcoholic, you probably don't need to be there. I'm just saying probably, because it's up to you to determine that for yourself. There's this deal that goes around that I'm alcoholic addict. Very few people are both. They're either alcoholic or addict. Maybe that's why you can't get no peace. Your foundation isn't solidified. Second piece of work, found out I was purebred, unadulterated addict. I did not crave alcohol. I had the power to put it down at 15 and could take it or leave it. When I met Heron at 16, nothing else mattered. Nothing. Women, sex, reefer, alcohol, cocaine, acid, Quaaludes, black mollies. I could do all that, but I had the power to put each one of them down. They did not drive me. Heron drove me. Heron had me do things that I didn't do for anything or anybody else. Joe impressed upon me, find your truth. And when I did, he said, you can't come here no more. It was a Tuesday night meeting in Santa Monica, as outlined in the book. that I was a part of. He said, you can't come. This is about alcoholics. And I found Cocaine Anonymous at 2 years clean. And I've been here ever since. I found my people. I speak and I share. And one of the things I do sometime is, how many heroin addicts in the room? And I say, my people. Because mm-hmm. Cocaine Anonymous is cocaine and all other mind-altering substances. I found the fellowship I crave. I found it in the street. Why don't I find it in here? I didn't hang out with crackheads in the street. Matter of fact, they ain't had crackheads when I was shooting dope.
Right. But now we're here for you.
Yeah. But like-minded people. The solution in Cocaine Anonymous is for anybody, no matter what you do. Body, mind, and spirit, unity, recovery, and service. Treat each part, and one day you will be whole. Carry the message. Stand for something or fall for anything. Get reborn. Get reborn. So we got a few minutes.
I would like to say something.
Go for it.
I have... Sure. So, I've been sober for 2 decades, so I've seen the evolution of Cocaine Anonymous in Los Angeles, in South Central LA, I should say. Just an evolution, and this is my assessment. I have had several years where I had the opportunity to have this amazing fellowship, like a crew. We were a gang of sorts. And there was safety in that. I have also watched the ugly head of ego and self-righteousness and exclusion occur. So think about it. You have the history that you heard today was that nobody wanted to hear the message, right? And now you have this bipolar side of it, where we carry the message this way. And you can only belong to this crew if you do that. And so that excludes people. And so other people can't attach to it. They make the rules, because now ego is involved. The rules are so astringent, like a reminder of Christianity for me, that I can't stay sober if I don't follow the rules exactly. I'll give an example. You have to pray and review. You have to review every day for 60 minutes. That's a rule in somebody's fellowship. But I heard the message. It had depth and weight, so I'm attracted to it. So I get in the crew. But now, people are relapsing because they feel like they can't live up to the fellowship that they craved. It's happening. So I'm warning you. This is a caution. Do group inventories in your meetings so that the meeting can remain healthy, so that it can see its ego, so that it can see its self-centeredness, so that it can see its dishonesty, and so that it can see its fear. You know who we are. It's mine. I want to control it, low key, under the auspice of concern. The book talks about they created the traditions because schisms occur, right? Arguments occur. And every argument doesn't look like me fussing at you. Sometimes it's passive. With our good spiritual selves. And good intentioned. But afraid to let go of the fellowship that we've experienced because we crave it, remember? And anything I'm craving, I'm going to try to keep it just the way I like it. You know how you like it. It's a caution. It's that we either unite, right, or die separately. Fellowship, first tradition, unity. Singleness of purpose.
It's to be all inclusive, not to push people out, not to take over, to do what we do, give help.
And not become saved and sanctified, mm-hmm. and you are going to hell. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. My way is the way. No. Create the fellowship that you crave, but be careful. Know your humanness is still alive. Your disease. So I want to do a little something now. How you feeling?
Good. Yeah.
Well, we're going to thank the Creator. We're going to thank the Creator. Who's the meditation music guy?
Chase.
Who had it?
I got it.
Some meditation music. We want to shut them doors. We want to shut those doors. Meditation music low. We're going to get some praying going on. I want you wherever you're down by your chair. Wherever you're at. Let's kneel down. And those of you that know this song, I want you to sing this song with me. Those of you that don't can listen and join in. A little bit more down, a little bit more. Yeah. And we're going to sing and we're going to chant. And I want you to thank God for the experience this weekend. I want you to call out to him and ask him if you still need him. As a result of what's happened this weekend, know that he will show up. Turn your life and your will over to the God of your own understanding. And I don't care how soft you are or how loud you are. Just call him and thank him for another opportunity and a moment that you can share with him. The opportunity and the moment to be surrounded by people of a fellowship that you crave. Surrounded by a moment in a place that you know God dwells in, this monastery. Thank him. Bless those that are around you. Speak to him. Call his name. Shout out loud.
Transformation.
Let's get some movement going on. Don't be afraid. Talk to him. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Hear some prayers. Lose your image and lose your thoughts of what people would think about you and that they're listening to you. Who are you? Just call him. Thank him for this day that you've had the privilege and the opportunity one more time just to say thank you. You've had the privilege and the opportunity just to know him just a little bit better. Call him.
I thank you for the seeds that are planted, Lord. I thank you for how they take root and how they transform the lives of the others. Thank you so much that I am a part of your lineage. Hallelujah.
Father God, we come as your children, Father God.
That you have made me new.
As your children, Father, we come.
And new again. And new again.
Somebody's in need of you right now.
Wherever you take me.
They're not going to tell us, Father God, but way deep in their heart, Father God, they need you.
Saving me.
They need to feel your spirit. They need to know that you are. They need to know that you've never left them, Father God. They need to know that you're capable, Father. That you're able. That you can fix it. Fix it for them, Father God. Make your presence known, Father God. We thank you for all that you've done. Little do we know that amazing grace have brought us this far.
Yes.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Thank you for saving me.
That saved a wretch like me. You brought us from a mighty, mighty, mighty long way. You've kept us in the midst of the storm, Father God. You've shadowed us and you've sheltered us, Father God, when chaos and confusion was all around us and we couldn't see, Father God. You were our eyes. When we needed to walk and we couldn't walk, you walked for us. You are Alpha and Omega, you're the beginning and the end. Nothing happens without your permission. You're a rock in a weary land, Father God. You're a staple in the time of the storm, Father God. You're the keeper of keepers.
thank you for your love. Thank you for this weekend, Father God. Thank you for showing up here. Somebody's life is renewed because of you. Somebody's life has new inspiration and new desire because of you. Somebody was touched by your hand, Father God, and it renewed their spirit. It gave them a new thirst and new yearning to know you just a little bit better. A desire to go out into the world and be your messenger and your warrior. Somebody lost fear, Father God, to stand on front lines, Father God. We just want to say thank you. We just want to say thank you for knowing you. For knowing that without you, we wouldn't be here in this precise moment. Just in this moment. In this now. This opportunity. On our knees. Hands outstretched. Hearts clear, minds clear. That all things are of you. As we leave this place, Father God, and go our separate ways, Father God, to our destinations, I'm going to ask that you go with each and every one of us. Make steady our way. Clear the roads for us, Father God. The roads and the airways and the busways and whatever, just clear them up, Father God, and keep us safe and protected. Then enlarge our spiritual life, Father God, so we can get to know you just a little bit better. That relationship that we desire to cultivate with you, that we get the intuitive thoughts that will allow us to cultivate that relationship just a little bit more. That on some level we'll be able to reach your people just a little bit clearer. Precise in your direction and who you would have us be and who you would have them be, Father God. Grant us this, Father. Grant us this. Bless us with this, Father God. Now may the saving grace of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.
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 Thank you.